world's playground. To the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Oh, good morning. Hi, welcome back. I'm here with Chuck Malamut. And Chuck knows how to do this show.
Good morning, Margie. So how are you today? Nice to see you look absolutely fabulous.
You're amazing, Chuck. Thanks for being our friend for all these years.
40 years?
You were there at the beginning, Chuck. You gave us our honeymoon suite.
So anyway, what a wonderful day. Again, 13 out of 14 years with perfect weather, 73, 74.
I think, isn't it 14 out of 14 years?
14 out of 14 years.
The one year there was stuff going on around, but not within. So, and I see Harry's here. So, oh, he's not yet. All right. All right.
So in any case, we are so happy to continue to participate and partner with you guys. It's been a very, very long, prosperous journey, and being able to provide significant dollars to these local charities that needed it in the absolute worst way as we started and went through and now ended the pandemic. But, unfortunately, there's still a lot of people that are in need of money. And you guys are there, and that's just fabulous. I know Harry and you make it look so easy to pull off the event, and you have, a lot of great help, but it takes a tremendous amount of man hours and organization. I remember initially sitting with Harry's, I think referred to as his kitchen cabinet.
Yes.
Way back when with Jim Frazier and others over at the Mays Landing Country Club, and what initially started as maybe we can do this, turned into this just fabulous event. It was great to just see the golfers all take off. Hopefully they all stayed in their golf, stayed in the cart and didn't lose any of their gear. But I'm sure some of those golf balls that Mike, my partner, was kind enough to get together for the charity, I think a few might be, maybe they'll get lost, but maybe we can locate them all. But I thought Mike had kind of guaranteed when he gave the balls to Harry that no golfer will lose any golf balls.
That's
quite a feat, but I'm not quite certain that's going to be happening today. But in any case, like I said, we're just really, really happy to partner with you guys. It's been quite a journey.
It's a synergy, and between the show and what you've done for us, Chuck, and then becoming like, you're always the first to volunteer when we need anything. You're always, whatever endeavor that we have, you're right up front and leading the pack, as they say. And we appreciate you so much. You're not just, we're not just clients. We're friends. We're brother and sister. And, it's a long, long time.
Harry oftentimes referred to as, our relationship, a brother from a different mother.
It's true. It's 100% true. I mean, you've been there since the beginning. So,
I was traveling this past week, and we'll talk about it if Harry wants to, but if not, that's okay. And I missed the show, which was pretty unusual for the Tuesday morning. But I'll tell you what, to just get out and visit with our clients and talk to the, in this case it was a 401k plan that we manage in Wisconsin and Colorado and Mexico, and just the appetite and the fact that these people were starved for information and they wanted in the worst way to talk with us because we've all been locked down. And now it's just, when you get today and you see this event, it just basically reiterates the fact that, we're back to normal. I mean, you will see as in your travels, as you guys get out and about and around, that there are still a fair amount of people that want to wear masks, I guess, for whatever particular reason. But obviously, it's required at the airport and on airplanes. But recently, we had an opportunity to visit with our daughter in Las Vegas, and literally, we only went into one store that required a mask, and everything else was just wide open. And you know, that's, and I think people are starting to, you know, sort of get their giddy up and get up and about, and that's all a great thing. But welcome back, Harry.
It's good to be back.
You're doing a fabulous. And Margie, listen,
I've been hearing great things about the broadcast since I left.
You look fabulous. Again. Well, I did listen to Margie on the way in, and she, Harry, I think you got a great potential replacement when you get set up for your retirement.
Well, you should know. You trained me, and I became a senior executive in hotel operations, top senior executive. It's called succession planning.
And then I trained my partner Mike, who's with us today. He's going to spend a few minutes in chat with the Torp, the guy that grabbed that got all the golf balls.
You know what we can do? Slide your chair close to Chuck, and then we'll all be able. You'll just share the mic. I mean, it's not HIPAA because I'm not a doctor, but I think we're all vaccinated. I know Chuck is. I am.
Yeah, I think we're good here.
And we are, as our governor told us, my good friends, that if you're vaccinated, the pandemic is over for you. I thought it was the greatest unifying thing that you could say to get everybody back on board with the fact that we're no longer existing. We're living again. And I'm not privy to what you guys talked about in the last 20 minutes or so, but I will tell you, we had a spectacular send-off of the golfers. It is glorious outside. The sun is bright. The temperature is perfect. The wind is light, just enough of a whisper of a breeze so that on a sunny day, you'll get cooled down. Jeff Bonnicky was great with his part of the announcements that we were making, and it was exciting with the Atlantic City Sandpipers, Pipes and Drums playing, and it's a blessing. And guys, I know Margie thanked you because I know my wife of 40 years, but we've never purchased a single golf ball in 14 years. And as of last year in the program book, I actually had the number of the tens of thousands of golf balls that it takes to make 31 foursomes each have a sleeve of golf balls. But it would be, I know the cost of these premium golf balls, Chuck, that you and I know especially Mike procures these. We're so appreciative of your support. Mike, we thank you.
Yes. So, no, we are really happy to be able to, you know, support the outing. And speaking from as a golfer and who played in an outing similar to this last Friday, and if you remember the weather last Friday, it was raining from basically all day.
Yeah.
So to have weather like this on a day like this, just incredible.
I don't know if you know this, Mike, and they say don't say it because you'll jinx it, but, I mean, I have to mention it. 14 consecutive years, our event has not had a drop of rain fall upon it. Even on times where it was 100% that it was going to rain, we've had a storm, a monster storm, split into two. And I have proof of this, the Doppler radar, and it split and went around the country club and hit everywhere else except us. So we, man plans, God laughs, but our event is blessed. We know it. And I think it's because we do so much good for our community and our various charities that we support.
Well, I mean, that's an incredible deal you have worked out with the weather.
So. Yeah, we signed a, you know, it's in blood. We signed a deep. But even when we switched to September 11th because of the pandemic last year, it didn't rain. And by the way, it didn't rain on the third Friday in June either, where it was scheduled to be. So yeah, we're. I tell anybody out there, plan your weddings for the third Friday in June. I've got your back. It's just a matter of fact. So we appreciate the Malamut team support. Those that are listening, most of you know, Chuck and I, we are not professional acquaintances. We're not clients. We're brothers. And Chuck, I just can't thank you enough for your support.
Well, Harry,
I mean, I think you probably write a check before you leave today. I mean, you're that amazing.
Well,
you're that amazing.
Actually, we can deposit in your Morgan Stanley account because I don't have my checks
today. I'm just teasing.
You strong arm me.
Not at all.
In front of thousands of listeners.
Not at all.
Embarrassing.
That's my job.
That's okay.
It's my job. We only tease the ones we love. You taught me that a long time ago when you picked on me.
We get it. 100%. No, there's absolutely. I agree with you. You know, I was telling Margie before you got here, Harry, that, I missed the show with you on Tuesday because I was traveling in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and people were getting out and about. This pandemic's over.
And Minnesota was a little slow to the draw.
It was very slow in the draw. And,
good.
And Wisconsin as well. And but as we're being repetitive here, the face-to-face contact, the individual meeting, you know, the planning to understand, you know, goals, you know, dreams, desires, wants, needs, whatever it may be, you know, people miss that, you know, in the last, 14 months. And it's so critically important now. And that people get back, you know, into what is normal. And now the media is trying to redefine what normal is, like, hybrid, don't go to the office, come to the office. And I think you're going to find a lot of these companies are going to really get pretty forceful.
I hope so, because I'm a believer in, look, if we're going to follow the science, and we got tormented with that for a year and a half, then okay, I'll go with the rules. We'll follow the science. And the science says now that if you're double vaccinated or the one vaccination with the J&J vaccine, that you get your life back. So anybody that's trying to keep people down at this point, they've got other motives.
Harry, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. And the struggle is going to be when the unemployment ends in September.
Half the country is doing it now.
And Mark Giantonio said it very well this morning. And the fact of the matter is that all these organizations have learned to become more profitable with less employees.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you can maintain that service model, that's great news for the companies. Now, the problem is going to be, you think about it, it's kind of fast forward because we've been down this road before. When the unemployment ends and, you know, the people that elected not to want to go to work want to now have to come back to work. You know, as you know, right now there's more jobs than people. But I think, Harry, that's going to probably flip. You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if, you know, come the end of the summer, early fall, that people are looking for employment and they go back to their employer and the employer says, well, I'm really sorry, I can't help you.
So, I mean, so true. And I'm trying to find it in my phone right now. A friend of mine was shopping or they thought they were going to shop. They went to a store and there was a sign posted that we had to close because of staffing shortage. This is kind of a phenomenon. I mean, we have 10 million unemployed Americans and more than 10 million available jobs. That's extraordinary that there is a job waiting for every able-bodied American right now. And, of course, we're watching our supply chain be wrecked because we need more truckers. We've talked on Chuck's show about the company that was paying young college graduates who were really ready to go on to do other positions, but they said, hey, listen, we'll get you your CDL, come with us, $14,000 a week. That's insane. But they can't afford to have their company destroyed. So these are, I look at real estate, and right now if you own a home, you need a home to live in, so you can't just sell your home and live in a cardboard box. But you're king right now if you want to sell your home. You don't have to do any repairs. Your as-is sale will have multiple bids. It'll be sold for more than your asking price because the inventory is incredibly disadvantageous for the buyer. You have right now employees are premium. If you're a good employee, you have an opportunity to get bonuses, to go somewhere else and sign on for a bonus. So the pandemic is awful. It took 600,000 lives in our country, but it is opening up tremendous opportunities.
So where I was in Wisconsin, actually, is a manufacturing facility, 400 two shifts, two locations, two shifts in Wisconsin. I mean, the locations are 15 minutes from one from each other. 400 people, 400 employees, fully staffed. They are in need of 64 positions, and it's and they pay I think a very competitive, good wage. But it's just it's a matter of and if you're a good employee, I think this provides tremendous opportunity, upward mobility, so to speak. You know, where you can sort of, you know, shine and show your strengths, and that's what employers are looking for right now.
Yeah, it's an incredible time. And what do you think about the inflation aspect? And those just joining us, we're at 20 minutes past the hour. We'll be here live until our usual time, 6 minutes past the top of the next hour, when we welcome Brian Kilmeade and the Brian Kilmeade Show to WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's number one because of you. And, of course, early in the morning, South Jersey's number one, all because of you as well. Thank you to Michael Rubel, Chris Coleman, Art, Jennifer, our entire team, Ariel, who's been wonderful last night and today with the setup. And I want to talk a little bit about with Chuck Malamud, our official financial advisor for the Hurley in the Morning program and the Hurley in the Morning charity, and Mike Torpy, part of the Malamud team, about inflation, because I'm not expecting 17.5% mortgage rates or buying my next car at 21.6%. And, oh, by the way, that was with AAA credit that I made those two purchases, which seems absolutely shocking when you can get a 30-year conventional mortgage now for 3% or whatever it is, under 4% for sure. But inflation could become a very debilitating issue in this country. I'm very concerned about it.
So the question at hand is it transitory, temporary, and when we, quote, get back to normal, and the supply chain is no longer in disrepair, or will we end up with where we were, pre the end of the pandemic, if that makes any sense at all. Now, the problem is that wherever you go, and you just mentioned that a listener or somebody texted you, I think, with a picture showing that.
Yeah, they had to close. Went to go get your stuff, but they had to tell you, sorry, we don't have staff.
I don't think it doesn't matter what you're trying to purchase or accomplish. You have these shortages, virtually everywhere, whether it's, at the local CVS, as an example. Interestingly enough, early in the morning before my work day, I had an opportunity to get a little bit of exercise while I was out there, and I walked by this one car dealership. It was a Buick dealership. And much to my amazement, you saw these incredible prices on these used vehicles.
And the deal.
Yeah.
Supply and demand again.
And
by the way, when is this whole semiconductor chip phenomenon going to resolve?
It'll resolve itself. I don't know if it's 3-6 months from now. It's going to happen. I mean, we will get back to a more normal environment. And so the question, and I think we kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and we'll talk about it again on Tuesday. Once you increase your prices, with the exception of maybe fuel, which is obviously changes only, it can change, interday, so to speak. Oftentimes those prices never come back down.
By the way, Margie found out recently, just by happenstance, her car is now worth $3,000 more than it was out of nowhere. It's not new. It's used. Right now, and this whole issue that we're having, from the supply chain to this issue to the conductor chips and everything, it rippled to multiple industries. The new cars aren't there, which means that the used car market is affected dramatically. And then the rental car industry that gets rid of cars at a certain point, they can't get cars. So now you go make, and I know someone who did it, they arrived at an airport, they did good planning, good due diligence, they had their car, credit card, everything was reserved, their car would be there, they knew what car they were going to have, they got to the desk, and they were told, we rented your car to someone else, because they got more money.
So true story, that not only happened to me, it happened not once, but two times.
This is crazy.
On trips to Vegas.
When in a whole lifetime would you think you have a reservation, but you don't have one?
What do you think my biggest fear was in traveling to Wisconsin?
who your Uber driver was going to be because your car wasn't going to be there.
That's exactly correct. And fortunately, unfortunately, my flight was delayed 4.5 hours getting out of Philadelphia.
Your car was really gone then.
So putting me in Minneapolis around 10:30 their time, and all I kept thinking of walking through the concourse said, I hope there's a car, I hope there's a vehicle. And
because there might not be a vehicle if you were on time, let alone if you're...
The good news is, that fortunately, there were vehicles.
Good.
So when you see that happen, and when you see these flights being absolutely packed...
By the way, have they jacked their prices up for rental cars dramatically? Because it used to be really affordable.
They're still quasi, I guess, affordable, but... You know, if one, you got to be able to get the vehicle.
Right. Before the pandemic, Margie and I flew into West Palm Beach, which I know you've done before, and we made our car rental appointment well in advance, got off the plane. The car was there. The price was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And if the car wasn't there, it was going to dramatically affect our whole time there.
Harry, my family just flew into West Palm a couple weeks ago, Memorial Day weekend, to see some family.
I like flying into that airport.
Great airport.
It's kind of like going into ACY. It's small.
Yep, exactly.
Orlando's a nightmare. You know, yeah.
And flying with two children who travel very well, but in the back of my mind the entire time was, as we're taking the bus to the rental car place,
yeah,
is my car going to be
yeah,
there?
Yeah, this is our new life.
It was just a huge concern. Thankfully, it was there. You know, the Torpies were able to survive, and we got a car. It was not cheap, but we got it.
See, to me, you can get away with that for a while, but there comes a point in time where, you know, revenge of the machines. I mean, somebody, it's going to be a price to pay for that, because your reputation in the service industry is that somebody has made a purchase with you. You've made a promise with them. I'm sure there's something in the small print about they can rent the car from under you, but you start to hurt the brand when you can't be relied upon. You can get away with that in an emergency. That's not what they say, that hope is not a strategy. That's not a strategy. That's not a winning plan of leaving your customers concerned that their car might not be there. And I think there's sort of a reverse psychosis. It's like, I don't care what I have to pay for it. I just want the car to be there. And I think it's a slippery slope to run that way. And I hope that, well, there's hope, not a strategy, but I hope that we get to the point where we're not talking, as Chuck mentioned earlier, not new normal, back to normal, that if you want paper towels and stuff like that, that people aren't hoarding. I think part of the supply chain problem was people wanted like a garage full of paper products.
I'm guessing we can go back to eBay in about 6 months and buy things on significant discounts.
Hand sanitizer. I mean, so I think there was, I'm not going to say there was price gouging, although there probably was, but I can't prove it, so I won't assert it. But the pandemic brought out the best in people, and it brought out the worst in people.
It brought out, unfortunately, the absolute worst with some people, Harry. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to live through that for a little bit of time, and I think I'm just so curious to see when the unemployment ends. You know, what is our country going to look like?
There'll be a lot of jobs to fill, and people will have to go back to work. And of course, we're speaking about able-bodied people. We never speak about folks that either are too sick to work or unable to work. That's not what we're talking about. But I know someone that said it to my twin brother the other day. Why am I got this offer to go to work, but I'm making more with my state unemployment and the federal subsidy than if I go do that. So I'm going to ride this out. I mean, I'm not even saying they're not even bad people. Good people are saying that. It's available. There's no questions asked. You used to have the thing of having to go maybe to 3 interviews a week. You don't have to interview with anyone. You just show up and
you're hired.
You just get direct deposit. And we know that companies are offering money to just, will you show up to the interview? You don't even have to take the job. If you show up, we'll give you $50 or $100 or $500. And we know there are signing bonuses, retention bonuses. So again, that also, in a free market capitalist system, that's all anathema to the way that American society is supposed to work.
Certainly, the last 14, 15 months have been, it will go down in history books. There's no doubt about it. You know, we'll, you know, our future generations will talk about the, you know, this pandemic compared to the previous pandemic. And I mean, I just can remember, and I know Mike can attest to it, that the struggles that we went through in trying to, maintain our business.
Yeah.
And just some, because obviously, you know, our number one, what we do is we communicate, and without being able to effectively communicate and have the technology, as you know, just being sent home was a real challenge, you know, day one. And but it's all over, and that's great.
Yeah. I'm a big believer, Chuck, and you know this of me. I'm a big believer of the past is prologue. The 1918 pandemic, when we were in the throes of a pandemic, I made it my business. I wanted to find out through objective writings that were left behind, what was it like in 1918? Well, I can tell you that the ventilator had not yet been invented, so they didn't have that. They had no PPE. They had rudimentary face masks. People typically just put like a scarf or something. They didn't have whatever they are, M90 or whatever. I can't remember what that thing is with the filter and all that, or even the surgical grade masks that most of us wore. They didn't have any of that. And within a couple of years, it was the Roaring Twenties, and it was a time of excess, partying, gluttony. I mean, America wanted to recreate. So we have reason to be very optimistic. We couldn't have more going for us. I mean, we have the greatest medicine we've ever had. We have therapies. We have basically the cure in the form of a vaccine, so that even if you get it, you probably will only get a very mild case. They say it's almost 100% you will not be hospitalized and that you will resolve. So if they got through it in 1918 and had the Roaring Twenties, then everybody should be just happy joy with everything we've got going for us now. This should be an incredible run that we have. People are going to spend. I think it's going to be an amazing boom.
And Harry,
minus the inflation.
Agree. And you're seeing it already. I mean, I have a little bit of a commute to come down to the office every day. I'm closer to Philadelphia, but you see it in the traffic. You see it in people coming down to the shore points here.
It's crowded again.
It is.
And yeah.
We have a number of clients who own businesses on the boardwalks, and you know, we've spoken to them, and they say it's crowded already. And we're just in the beginning of summer, and kids are just getting out of school.
Well, I mean, look what we've done to the children. I think it's maybe one of the cruelest things in American history. Took away their whole social, emotional element. If anyone ever bothers to tell the truth, and somebody should really document this well, unheard of record number of children committing suicide, children having many, many issues. Think about how many children for two school years now, since the third marking period of the previous school year, that have basically been lost. There are areas in this country that don't have proper Wi-Fi. There are areas where that could not have maybe proper parenting. And not only did children struggle because they weren't in the classroom and they didn't have that human contact with a teacher, no matter how much you think you can learn digitally, you cannot replicate the human interaction that happens. And we really put the kids through a meat grinder, and I think much of it unnecessarily.
I agree, and the good thing is, at least what I see with my kids and their friends, is they're pretty resilient. You know, during all this, you know, we made it a point that the kids were outside playing. They were seeing, you know, some people in the neighborhood.
It's important.
And it's been wonderful this spring sports season to see the kids back out there, you know, playing sports with their friends and just having a great time. So they're resilient, I think. You know, the kids we know, maybe it's from parenting, I don't know, but, you know, they've done well and, you know, happy for the summer.
I'll tell you an interesting thing that also somebody in education should write about. I just observed it, and as a commentator, some kids did very, very well with the digital learning, the remote learning. I know someone very close to me. I love him, and he's here today. 13 years old, 7th grade, attained Junior National Honor Society, straight A's for the entire year in every class, 96 GPA through remote learning. But I also know people that would have done very well and did terribly through the remote learning.
Yes. I mean, and I've heard it also, you know, school district to school district, where you had, you know, some school districts that were set up to do very well and, you know, some, you know, not so much. So it really was a case by case situation. And, you know, I was very happy with, you know, speaking from, you know, personal experience, my kids' virtual learning experience did, you know, very well. Obviously, my wife and I want them back, you know, in school and mm-hmm. wanted them back in school. So we're excited for that.
Remember how kids, I mean, I think this is true, although I think it's sort of maybe oxymoronic because they say they hate school, but I think they love school. It's love hate, and it's not really hate. I think starting the next school year, when the kids go back in September, and I'm hoping it's without face masks, I've been compliant. Chuck will tell you. I think he's even gotten annoyed with me a little bit. I've been so compliant and respectful during this pandemic that I've gotten people agitated with me because, oh, come on, you know. I said, look, you know, I'm following the rules.
Excuse me, people get agitated with you, Harry?
I'm shocked.
No, I can't.
I'm shocked, and I can't believe you just said that. I'm agitated that you just said that.
No, I didn't say I was agitated.
But I'm agitated that you're agitated.
That was a question I was
asking. It's shocking.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
But it's, no, it's okay.
I just had to say that.
I'm glad you did. Thank you for agitating. So when you look at this, it's not that I don't want them wearing face masks because I'm some kamikaze. I've followed the science through the whole thing. And the CDC, it's plural, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention even, they said the children should have been back in school like a year and a half ago. So how do we hypocritically follow the science when it suits whoever wants to cite that, but then we don't follow the science when they don't want to follow it? And I don't want to get into it. This is a happy day. I know why it is, and I know the unions, and I know, you know, they were leveraging the pandemic in obscene, disgusting ways even. But you don't abuse children like that. That should actually qualify as child abuse. You're going to take little babies, toddlers, and they're going to wear a mask for 8 hours a day. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. And when they say that this is a demographic that's not at risk and that they don't have to. So I'm hoping they go back to school, their teachers are double vaccinated, they're protected at that point, trust the science, we're told to. If we want to have a conversation not to trust the science, then let's have an intellectually honest one, but I'm not going there. I've been trusting the science, and I think we owe our children that, to let them go back to school. Kids have missed out on scholarship opportunities. They've missed out on extra and co-curricular activities. They've missed out on once-in-a-lifetime dances and things like that, proms, all taken away. We need to give that back to them.
Agree, and I think this September is going to be a good time, and I think it's going to, you know, the kids are going to get back, and, you know, they're going to be really happy to get back in and, you know, back to normal.
A little telltale that the Fed sees that the economy is coming back. It's now 2023 that they're talking about rate increases, and I was actually pretty pleased, but I've been busy, so you guys are the experts, correct me if I'm wrong, the markets didn't go berserk over the Fed comment, or did they?
Well, that was until this morning.
Okay, see,
so
I'm here.
So you're
I was right until
you're
today.
Doing your charitable work, which is great, but Fed President Bullard, I believe, actually was interviewed this morning on one of your favorite TV stations, and he was a little hawkish in the process, and it sent the indexes down significantly this morning. But look, you know, you don't.
That's too bad, because I thought that the Fed chair actually finessed it well enough that it tipped everybody off that we can do this sooner than we said, not 2024, but 2023. But then,
what have we learned in the last 30 years together? You don't manage to the next news story.
Correct.
And we are very insistent when we chat with our prospective clients and our clients And we, as we talk about, we use this tool. It's called LifeView. And without that tool, there's no reason to have a plan. Because if you're going to run from event to event to event, that is a surefire formula to lose your money.
All I had to do was hit one button before I made my declarative comment. So it does go to show you, though,
it's Friday, it's almost summer. There's not a lot to report on. Earnings are all in. I mean, it's hard to believe we're going to be at the end of the quarter. You know, the end of the second quarter in another 2 weeks. So, you know, we're sort of in that what I'll call quiet period. But, you know, you get news event.
A quiet period. You get an interview. An announcement takes on greater meaning.
You get an interview like today. The market has a tendency to get spooked. But, you know, it's early in the day. And, you know, Mike and I are not going to sit here and make a prediction on what the market's going to do at 10:30 this morning, let alone at 4:00 this afternoon. But I think if you are astute enough and you are really, you know, 5 years out, 10 years out, these sort of events that happen on a day-to-day basis, it's basically noise. And you have to get rid of the noise. You have to, like, not pay attention to the noise of that, you know. But unfortunately, as we talk about as well, you know, you hit it on your phone. You got an update in about 15 seconds. Mike and I looked at a little bit while you were talking earlier today. You know, the media just feeds you with data, and you can't drink out of a fire hose all day long. It doesn't work.
Just to give you an idea, and Chuck knows this because either I was reporting to him at the time, I think I was, and I didn't take much time off. I was telling Ariel earlier this morning about my casino days. We hardly ever took time off. Chuck never took time off. I never took time off. I went to Disney World. I was in Disney World during the famous, Black Monday.
October 1987.
And here's the reality.
How old were you then, Harry?
In 1987,
You barely had your working papers.
I was 27 years old.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, I was.
Really?
27, working for you. I know. I'm a baby face. So tell Ariel. Can you believe it? 40 years married.
You made some comment this morning about being a young guy. I can't remember.
Was it fantastic?
Know. It was. Yeah, it was kind of just rolled off.
Okay. I slip these things in very quick sometimes. But
Harry, it's bad when I know they're coming.
Well, okay. Well, you've known me for 40 some years. So I am in Disney World, where I love to be. I'm either in Disney World or planning to be in Disney World. I already have two more planned. Nice to be able to plan again. You couldn't plan, and nothing was open, and you couldn't do anything. So it's nice to be able to have stuff to look forward to. So we have two vacations planned, actually. So I'm in Disney World, and we don't even know that happened. That's a long time ago, but in the scheme of things, it's not that long ago. We would know this. We would get an alarm to our phone. Bells and whistles would be going off. I didn't know that it happened.
Harry, I can tell you chapter and verse from the opening bell to the end what happened that day if it was just yesterday.
And you were new at it then.
Basically 1 year in a business. I don't think Mike was even born back then. You know, it's like it was so.
Mike was nine.
He was nine.
But he was a brilliant nine, and learning in the classroom.
He was managing money when he was five.
Yes, exactly.
His father taught him how to do that. So,
but that just shows you though, we were so much simpler. And The reason I brought it up now during what you were saying is because the media, they're a big problem in our country right now, and they hurt financial markets many times unnecessarily because they get hysterical.
It doesn't
take much to start a contagion.
Look, Harry, I think they run with a story, and it becomes larger than life, and it creates, unfortunately, sometimes a fair amount of hysteria. And, you know, nobody likes to lose.
Did Chuck, three decades ago, did a typical investor look at their statement maybe once a month when it came in the mail?
They looked once a month when they got their statement.
Now it is second by second. It's crazy, isn't it?
Look, you have all these online apps. You can trade on your phone. You can trade on your computer. There's a stark differential between trading and investing. And, you know, we're not going to talk about, you know, the meme stocks. So we can, you know, we can talk about that on Tuesday. But, you know, when they grab hold of these positions and they just, you know, inflate the prices in an effort to, you know, squeeze out the short sellers. I mean, that to me is not investing, Harry. That's trading in its finest moment. And sometimes, you know, you can get caught. It's like, think about it. You know, you're traveling down a highway. Next thing you know, there's a multi-vehicle crash, and you're in the middle of it, and you had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You can get kind of caught.
Whipsawed, as you would say.
Yeah, in the frenzy of all this. So you have to. That's why when we onboard a new client, we say, okay, how do you want us to communicate with you? And it's sort of to find out, like, do they use their phone? How often do they use their phone? And if they use their phone a lot, I said, listen, here's what we want to do. You absolutely cannot look more than once a week. You have to promise us you're going to do that.
It's smart.
And a client chuckles and they say, okay, no problem. And then lo and behold, you have a conversation on Wednesday. And now you're having the same conversation with a client on Friday.
Yeah, so 2 days, not a week.
And you're saying, well, wait a minute, I thought we had an agreement here. And he said, well, I was just checking the check.
Yeah, you got to give things an opportunity to work. Quick time set, reset, 46 minutes past the hour, visiting with Chuck Malamut and Mike Torpy from Morgan Stanley. Give you an idea of what they've done just this morning. There's 124 golfers. Each golfer got 3 golf balls. Each bag had a sleeve of the 3 golf balls, courtesy of Mike, who really works hard to get these for us, and Chuck. So we thank you for that. And you've donated them every year for the entire breadth length of the Hurley in the Morning Charity Golf Open, which today we turn 14 years old. So that's thousands of golf balls. Also, Mike put together an extra 6 dozen, that I put in a lot as a silent auction item because these premium golf balls, I mean, they go for no less than like $35 a dozen and up, depending on if it's Titleist, you know, Pro V1 or these wonderful Callaway ones that are in the lot today. They're an easy $35 retail. So 6 of those, that's a nice hundy plus to the charity. So thank you for that, Michael.
Harry, it's our pleasure, and, you know, again, we're just happy for you that you got this great day, and, you know, hopefully there's some low scores out there, too, you know.
It's so competitive, I got to tell you. They buy mulligans, if they get a bad shot, they can buy a mulligan, which is a nice revenue thing for us, and they want to win. Last year, you guys know Kirk Conover, Chuck especially does, owners of the Shore Agency, dear friends, and both Nancy and Kirk have a foursome this year and every year. So last year, they finished tie for the tournament championship. But there's one hole that you go to what's called a match of cards. And on that particular hole, and I forget at the previous location which hole it was, but the one Kirk's foursome parred the hole. It was happened to be their first hole of their round. Kind of unlucky. Although a par, you know, could happen anywhere. Even if you're playing well, you could have, just by happenstance, a bad hole or whatever. But they parred it, which could have been good enough. But the other team that they were tied with birdied it.
Wow.
So they win the championship.
People
like it. I mean, we're competitive by nature, I think.
Well, I've experienced it a couple years. I have played in this golf outing before, and you know, the competitiveness is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's enjoyable. A lot of good males and females out here playing golf, having a good time, and it's just a lot of fun.
Chuck, I'd also like to thank your company, Morgan Stanley, because every year they have made a Hurley's Hero level contribution, and it's really wonderful, and it's so important. It helps us write the grants that we do. So we thank Morgan Stanley.
Well, we'll thank our local manager, Megan Vanesco, for making that happen.
She's fabulous.
And, it's all for the community, Harry. It's not, you know, I know that this event put you over a million. Is that correct?
We actually went over a million last year.
I mean, that's just phenomenal.
We're very proud. Proud of that.
And you ran all that money through
Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley. There you go.
Yeah.
And you could be like, you're a great advertisement for us. I mean, you use the mobile app
every day.
You, but not to check the stock market, but to check the balances in the Hurley Foundation,
and to make my own deposits.
And then you
and by the way, that's a way to be less labor intensive to the staff. I don't need to run these checks over to have them deposited at Morgan Stanley Northfield. I make all my own deposits.
You do, and you got up to speed very, very quickly. We're very proud of you, Harry.
Thank you. You're talking well.
In the beginning, you're a little worried when you take the back of the check and present that as the front of the check.
Well, yeah,
and then you had to do front. But that's okay.
I get a little confused. Nat West, you know, they trained me. I get a little confused.
And you wonder why your listeners sometimes get upset with me. They say that I tease you too much. Can you imagine that, Harry?
You know, it's all love, though, and we're very blessed. And if somebody gets mad, and they've actually even written that on occasion, but then I explain, Chuck's like my brother. You have to understand. You rib each other. Well, I don't like it. But
well, Harry,
that's loyalty.
Look, I do remember you, and you do a fantastic job defending me, and I certainly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I remember one. It was early in the morning in the 6 o'clock hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bonnicky. Boy, he gave a great speech to our golfers. That guy should be like MacArthur. He sends the troops, you rush to that.
So he could be a fill-in host?
Easily. But go ahead.
So 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm outside in a beautiful summer day. I said, you know, I'll get a little exercise here. And, I have my phone, and I'm listening to you. And this lady listener calls in, and I about fell over. And she literally, I don't know what I did to this lady.
It was like a tire necklace in Haiti, and she set it on fire.
But your
younger and slightly more attractive little brother did defend you very well.
And you did a fantastic job. And I waited for you to finish.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to get in the middle of what you were saying, and I sent you a text message. I think it was bold and caps and. Thank you, explanation mark, explanation. I said, well, wow, that's a great way to get my day started.
Well, I'm going to tell you what that is, though, and it's actually a real compliment. I believe when you do a program the right way and you respect your audience and you put the audience first, and every day, and I think you'll back me up on this, Chuck, every day, I've done it at least 10 times today, every day I thank our audience that none of this would be possible. That this July 1st, and Chuck has been with me, Ariel, since the first day we signed on 30 years ago, this July 1st. It doesn't even seem possible that it's been 30 years. I'm mind blown. I can't even believe it's been 30 years. But if you remember to respect your audience, appreciate them, let them know what they mean to you, if a mean person like you, Chuck, comes along and take shots at me, they stick up for me, and they don't
If a mean person like you, Chuck, comes along and takes shots at me, so
they don't like that. But I want you. You're a very good student. You're a very great senior hotel executive, and you learn. You need to learn that if you make fun of me, you're going to get ripped. I can make fun of you, and I'm not going to get ripped.
This is host prerogative. That happens.
I know. It's a terrible hypocritical double standard, but it exists.
And your listeners stick up for you, and as you're throwing me under the bus.
Yes.
And
they love it when I give it back to you. When you give it to me, they love it when I give it back to you.
So you're telling me you want me to give it to you more?
Well, it's at your own peril. It's okay with me. Because I got thousands of people behind me. It's fine with me.
It's like we're going to war, I have no chance.
Basically, just be prepared. If you take shots, you're going to take fire back. I mean, that's the compact that I have with the best audience in the history of talk radio. Chuck, we're like this. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm crossing my fingers. We're like this.
Listen, Harry, as successful as you are and as good as you do every day, you always tell a story on the air. So I think what you need to do, it's like when you talk about, you know, what you had for dinner the night before.
Yes.
So I think you really need.
And I make it like smell-o-vision.
I think you need to make it. I think you need to really work hard now, harder, in making certain that you defend me.
Well, I do defend you.
When people think I take a shot at you.
Well, I do defend you.
Because I don't take shots at you.
But they think you do.
But I don't.
Well, here's the thing. If somebody thinks you did and it prompts them to either write a letter or to call in, then they think you did, even if you think you didn't. But it's okay.
Because July 1 makes 30 years.
Yeah, because we're covered.
That's all right. We're all good.
We have insurance. We have an insurance policy. We are covered. We've paid credits.
How did we get to on this track here?
Because you criticize me from time to time.
I was paying you a compliment.
It was beautiful.
About
a lady. I'll rewind the tape and it'll be on today's podcast. A lady called in and didn't like what you were doing and saying.
Correct. Okay.
Which is evidence
that I was taking a shot at you.
Would have to be. Okay. Or if you want to call her mistaken, and then she'll call me on Monday.
Well, I think she was probably a little off base. But the good news is that was a long time ago. So it wasn't like it was just yesterday. But now I can't imagine what's going to happen now.
This has all been shtick, to be honest. The real truth is that we're like brothers.
We are.
We almost cannot even insult each other because it doesn't really exist. Even if we're doing it, it doesn't even count.
It's like when I pick up the phone and I call you, it's not like, hi, how are you, Harry? It's like, Harry.
Yes.
And you just get into the conversation.
Yes.
So that's all good stuff. So I think your listeners, if they haven't figured that out yet, they really need to understand that.
Well, look, I'll never forget when I was making a decision to leave a very stable life and trying something completely unproven. There were only two talk shows in the whole market. And I mean, I had like really sane people telling me I am crazy. What are you doing? Don't even try this. So the first thing I did, because I was a husband with little children, young children, I had to talk to my wife about it and say, I have this idea. I think I could be good at this, and I just love it, and I want to try this. But of course, I couldn't be insane. I had to be able to provide for our family, food, clothing, shelter, and all this. And Margie greenlighted it. So without her, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And Chuck, after I talked to Margie, you were the next person. So when anybody ever hears Chuck and I ribbing each other, you got to understand, Chuck is as close to me as anybody could possibly be. We're closer than if we were blood. And I consider you my blood brother. So I called Chuck. I said, Chuck, I got this crazy idea. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to do this. But I gave it – it wasn't total insanity, though. I had a 3-year vice presidency. I was well thought of, and I was doing the radio part-time. So I didn't just quit like a lunatic. I got to the 3-year mark, and I said, I think I can do this. And Chuck supported me and said that I think you can do it too. Because sometimes if you're going to venture out on a limb of a tree and keep walking until the very end and looking back and making sure nobody's sawing it off behind you – you need encouragement.
But Harry, what about on the flip side when I dragged you in? Actually, if I remember this, we were at the Golden Nugget, and I went up to the third floor and met you, and I said, and I had a hotel room key, and I had you come into the hotel room.
Oh, that was a terrible day for me.
And you were saying, like, what is this guy doing? And I said, Harry, yeah. I think I'm quitting here.
And you know what you said to me? I really was so honored at the trust because you hadn't even done it yet. You said, I'm going to be doing something very different. And, of course, this is 40 years ago or ever, I think close to 35 years ago. And I thought, what is this? I mean, this is the greatest hotelier in the history of the Atlantic City hotel casino market, whose family had a pedigree decades before all of that. And I remember saying, Chuck, you're the best in the industry at what you do. You could work, every place would hire you. And you're going to do what? And you explained it to me. And honestly, I admit, I didn't have the acumen to process what you were telling me. I couldn't believe it.
Harry, I can remember that story. I can remember that event like it was yesterday.
Me too. And you have to understand, it's an industry that eats people up. I'm speaking hotel casino in that era. and spits them out. I have no comment to make over today because I don't know what goes. I know the people that I know, and you know, I think it's a little different now, and I think there's a little more quality time and people telling you to have time with your family. When you and I worked in an industry, we were expected to be there basically 7 days a week. You had no life. And that's the reason I left, because I was going to be happy in my job, which I loved, but I was going to be a terrible husband and probably even worse father. So it's the best decision I ever made. But when you told me that, and I was at a certain stage of my adulthood, very young at the time, I was blown away by it. But here's what I did know, though. I remember saying to you, you will be successful at anything you do, because I know how hard you work. Nobody works harder than Chuck Malamud, and I think Mike Torpy would back me up on that. The man's work ethic is – I modeled my hotel career. It took me, I think it was 11 years to get the job that Chuck had, and I modeled my career off of Chuck, Mike.
Harry,
so when we joke with each other, this is the real truth.
Harry, I couldn't agree with you more. It'll shock you, but I tend to go to bed a little bit earlier than Chuck, and then waking up and seeing the number of emails sent between the hours of 11 and 1 a.m.
It's incredible.
Pretty impressive.
After already working from early in the morning that day. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, all these lists that Chuck winds up on, they're no joke. They don't happen by accident. When you're the best in the country at what you do, and I have to say, and you guys are my team, so I would say it because you're my team, but you guys are the Malamud team at Morgan Stanley. You guys are an amazing team.
Well, it's Harry, it's thank you. And it's not my name happens to be the lead name because I'm the old guy.
You're old?
I'm the older guy in the group.
Your hair's still jet black, and I know you don't ever dye it.
You're absolutely right about that.
Thank you.
But in any case, it's not me exclusively. Obviously, Mike plays a critical role
isn't he a great teammate?
Partnership. He's fantastic. Yeah. And Kristen, who's wonderful, and Diane, who just recently joined our team. So I think we've done a really good job developing with our clients a boutique firm within a big firm. So the client, when we talk with the client, knows they're going to talk to one of the four of us. And it's not like they're going to end up at some random call center and talking to someone that's in India.
Yep.
And that you can't even understand what they're saying.
And so, never talk to the same person more than once. All these frustrating things,
right,
that people
and you know, that's all
have
result, you know what that, and you'll attest to it. That's all a result of coming out of the hospitality industry.
Yeah. Service.
Because you can go buy that stock or bond or that stake anywhere. It's a matter of...
Did you hear what Mark Antonio said when he sat in the chair that you're in and he talked about best run tournament he's ever seen?
I did hear.
World-class registration. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, Margie is a world-class professional in registration.
You know, if you're going to do it, just do it right.
Exactly. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't go to the hotel school, Cornell Hotel School Management. Chuck Malamud did. I always say this, I learned under the school of Malamud. The reason I got the job that I ultimately got is because of the education that I received. And most of our direct reports that were reported to Chuck were afraid of him. I'll admit, he was intimidating. I wasn't afraid of Chuck. I was a bit intimidated. I was intimidated by his knowledge. I was intimidated by his direct approach. But I learned toughness and attention to detail and what it would take to go from 3-diamond to 4-diamond, 3-star to 4-star. And we tried. We came really close. We tried to get the 5th star and the 5th diamond. We got tortured, actually. In 2 years, we had it if we took a piece out of this one and a piece out of that one. And we would have been the only hotel casino in the history of the world other than Harrah's Reno. Maybe it was Tahoe, one of them. That got the 5-star, 5-diamond. Chuck, we almost got it.
Harry, we were very, very close, and there was one mishap during, you know, when they come in and they have a surprise stay.
Yep.
And it was just a minor, and I think it was a room service mishap.
Terrible.
Actually.
Yeah, terrible.
And,
bad break.
Anyway, so that was.
Well, I'll tell you to this day, but I was happy. I started at my biggest assignment in a 3-star, 3-diamond hotel and left 4-star, 4-diamond, but that's what you've meant to me, Chuck. In the minute and a half that we have before the end of the program, Give our listeners your comment on your observations of our charity tournament.
So I think today's probably a big money day for you, right? You're going to raise
a
fantastic amount.
Get a lot prepaid because I work hard on that.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to make certain that that balance stays where it needs to be. So you be very careful with those checks that you write, Harry.
Appreciate
but
that.
In all seriousness, I mean, it's hard to believe it's been this many years and you've raised an incredible amount of money and you've helped so many causes. And I just think this is sort of just the beginning. It just doesn't, you know, you'll morph into something different. It's something bigger.
Jim Fraser was saying that most of these events maybe kind of peter out in 7 to 8 years max, and we're double that, 30 seconds.
See, the big news is you're going to have Mike Torpy play next year.
You're going to play next year, Mike?
He's playing next year, yeah.
Good.
We've already volunteered
we're
in the play.
We're going to put the foursome in right now.
I think maybe you and I should join him, but that would probably just be a big mistake.
Yeah, but I'd have to, like, leave the broadcast, which I can do.
Right, but we don't want to do that. So,
no. I'll stay where I belong.
But look, this has been it's been a great run. You're going to continue it. I'm so very proud of you and your family and what you guys have done for the community. I think a lot of it, a fair amount of it gets recognized, but a lot of it does not get recognized.
Which, you know what, is okay by me because it's the work that counts.
It does.
And thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Mike. To Mike Rubel, Chris Coleman, Jennifer Doughton-Smith, Ariel Reamer, our entire team, a privilege to broadcast here from Linwood Country Club. We have a great day. The rest of the day, it's not even starting.
95.5 FM and 1450 AM.